we go back to how other extreme environments protected themselves, we're going to get a lot of information. And that's really how I started this whole quest on hydration. I was looking at how desert people survive without 8 glasses of water a day, the typical medical advice we get.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and it's my honor to be with you here on another episode. Oh, my goodness. We are just going strong and enjoying every minute of it. I'm here. I've got my chai tea. I can't wait. Look at this cool. Look at can you see this? Look at this mug. Isn't this awesome? Oh. One of our great community people sent me this Pendleton Roundup. That is a tea mug, I'll tell you. That's great. Let me take a sip. Yeah. And if you guys want a recipe for homemade almond milk, you know, how to get me, understandingautoimmune.com. Just drop me a quick contact us, ask for it. I'm happy to send it to you. Anyway, tonight, we're going to find out whether this tea is any good first, because tonight I've got the authors of Quench on. This is a topic I have always been so confused about, because they talk about the truth about hydration. 8 glasses a day is not the way. I love that tagline. I absolutely adore that tagline. And let me introduce them. And then they'll introduce the voices to you, because I know on video you can see the difference. But for the audio listeners here, we'll have to, you know, kind of play back and forth, because they're two amazing co-authors. Dr. Dana Cohen, she's an integrative physician, and Gina Brea, she's a cultural anthropologist, and they've brought their disciplines together to just make a total new revolutionary groundbreaking approach to hydration. And I don't know about you, but that's one thing that I always feel like I am never quite hydrated correctly, at least, because I can tell the times when I go, okay, I'm feeling much better, and then I'm like, and I think by the time I start to question, am I hydrated, it's probably too late. So let's jump in. We'll get more of the information, their background as we go. But let's jump in. Let's start with Dr. Dana. Hi, how are you today?
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Okay, well, that's Dr. Dana's voice, and here's Gina's voice, and let's jump in. Hi, Gina, how are you?
Oh, again, we're very grateful to be here. It's exciting to share this new approach to hydration.
Well, this is so timely. When your topic came across my desk, I jumped on it, because I think this is sort of like breathing. We all do it, you know, we drink water, we're thinking beer, but we don't think about it, or we don't pay the proper attention to how important hydration is. Just like too often we don't pay proper attention to taking nice deep breaths and sort of these short panic breaths all the time, whatever. I'm down a rabbit hole, as my community knows. Anyway, let's talk about hydration. So how come you guys say 8 glasses is not the way? I mean, that's been pounded into my head for as long as I can think.
This is Dana. I'll start. That comes from nobody really 100% knows where it comes from. But the truth is, we're all different shapes. We're all different sizes. We all do different exercises. We all sweat differently. We move differently. We eat differently. We take different medications. We live in different environments. So to put a number on what everybody needs, you know, 8 glasses a day is ridiculous, and it's not the way. And what we lay out in the book is that there's a better and much more efficient way of hydrating.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because I just showed this mega mug, right? For you guys on audio, it's a huge mug. So that could be a glass or, you know, it could be a juice glass. So you're right. That is kind of silly. Gina, what are your thoughts about hydration? I've also heard this topic about you're supposed to somehow take your weight and divide it or multiply it or whatever. Let's just talk about what is the way.
Thank you again for inviting us to talk about this, because if I just can open the conversation by saying, what would it be like if we actually felt completely full up? What would our lives feel like? How would we move? What would our moods be like? What would our capacities for thinking? That's the part that's really driving me to find out what optimal hydration is. And I feel that the conversations are almost always around dehydration.
And, oh, excellent point. Yeah.
So we're having all these conversations about don't get dehydrated, don't get dehydrated. We have the research on this. The 2% loss of hydration leads to measurable cognitive interferences. So the percentage is very small. And I kept thinking, well, what's the percentage above that? What would our lives begin to look like if we were truly getting the level of hydration, being the fact that we're 99% water by molecular count. We're vastly more water than we realize. And when that water table goes down, we lose so many functions we're not even aware of. So I really like engaging that. Okay, let's get the dehydration question out of the way. Let's get into, wow, what would it be like to really feel smooth and fluid and full of life and full of buoyancy and creative and see well and hear well and not have so many dental problems. I mean, the whole panoply of our physiology is based on having enough water in there.
Wow. You know, I hadn't thought about that hydration, that I seeing better, hearing better. But I do know when I start to think maybe I'm dehydrated, if you're saying 2%, I'm obviously way dehydrated by the time I'm starting to think maybe I need some hydration.
Yeah, you can see why we want to move that story of hydration to the forefront of people's experience during their day. Let's get that water in there.
Wow. I think also the whole sort of impetus from my end on this book is that in treating and preventing a chronic illness, hydration needs to be the first step that we take before you start on any kind of nutrition plan or anything. You really need to make sure that we are properly hydrated. It is the baseline of all of our health. You know, we want our cells to be in homeostasis or in balance, where the water in and the water out is equal and in equilibrium. And that, to me, is the first step in prevention and treating any kind of chronic illness.
Well, you know what's so surprising to me is we've had nutritionists on, and I know from my own healing experience how, you know, doctors never talk to me about nutrition in any really useful way. They try, but not useful. I have to say, not just in my 4 years of recovery from the autoimmune, but before, I don't think one of them has ever mentioned how much water do you drink or anything.
Dana does. I love that about her.
Awesome. Let's change the paradigm here, Dr. Dana.
So I have to say, functional medicine, integrative medicine docs are really working to do that. That is what we're doing. We're really trying. I mean, one of the first questions I ask patients is, do you think you drink enough water? And how much water are you drinking? And most patients, even my elite athletes, admit that they don't think they drink enough water. And what that relates to is that they're probably, at some point, this low-grade subclinical dehydration sets in, and it's an issue.
Well, first let's talk about water. I mean, I'm even just confused the topic of water, let alone hydration. You've got tap water, and people tell you all the things in there, and then you've got all these sort of tabletop water filters, and you've got bottled water. I'm just confused about what water should I drink, let alone am I drinking enough?
Yeah. It's a very good question. In the book, we don't discuss filters. We don't discuss alkaline water. We don't discuss hydrogen water. It's funny because that's how Gina and I met. She called me and I thought she wanted to talk about some kind of alkaline water, you know, Ponzi business that she was, but it wasn't. She wanted to talk about true hydration. It, depending on where you live, tap water, filtered water, we need to drink some water. and we'll give you some rules on how to go about doing that. But if you're asking about what kind of, I know Gina's been doing a little bit of research on filters because I know we need to. Yeah, that's the kind of water that we need to drink is, you know, good, clean water. Ideally spring water. The book is not necessarily about drinking more water. The book is about eating your water.
Eating water. Yes, of course. That was my next question, because that's all about the fruits and veggies that we eat all day long. And I know some of them obviously have a lot more water content. I enjoyed a watermelon the other day. That was pretty juicy. So let's talk. How do we eat our water? Because that actually sounds more fun than just drinking plain old water.
This is Dana. I'll start to talk about the discovery of this other phase of water, a fourth phase of water. We all know that water exists as liquid, ice, and vapor, and that now we are know scientists are believing that there is a new and very different phase of water. And in the book, we specifically talk about Dr. Gerald Pollack's work on gel water or structured water. Gel water is what we're going to be talking about. And this other phase of water, it literally is like a gel. So it's a little thicker, a little slicker. And that's this that kind of water that exists in our cells. It also exists in plants. And what's different about this water is that it holds an electrical charge. So it actually creates fuel for our bodies. So water is not just hydration. It actually acts as fuel, much like sugar acts as fuel to make ATP. Water makes fuel in the body by this the way that water structures, it holds on to extra electrons and gives us fuel. So that's the basis of the book, this new science behind this water. And from that, because it exists in nature, think about how desert plants hydrate. They hydrate via gels. They also think about chia seeds. We'll talk about chia seeds because that's our favorite thing in the world. Think about cucumbers. You know, do you see the gel in it? Those are very hydrating foods. So the idea of the book is really for you to find out for yourself what your optimal hydration is. It's a very simple 5-day plan in there that everybody can do. It's easy. I will tell you that. But it's about getting more hydrating foods into your diet. And from that, we're getting much more, our cells are becoming much more efficiently hydrated.
Wow. Okay. So I'm thinking about chia seeds. You're right. They're kind of slippery, as well as cucumber is slippery. When we're talking about other things that are maybe juicy, but I don't think of slippery, like a watermelon or an apple. So do they have varying different degrees of hydrating properties, or just eating more fruits and veggies is probably a good nutritional statement, let alone?
I'm Gina. I'd like to chime into that. There's a couple of things I would like to frame around this, having more food, more hydration, more water from your food intake, because the water inside those plant foods, like apples and pears and even cauliflower, is already this specialized water, this gel water, this structured water. That specialized water is a state of water that's able to conduct electricity and transfer electricity to our cells, unlike liquids. Liquid bulk water, liquid water, tap water, those waters haven't, if you think about it, all those plastic bottles we're drinking out of, they've been sitting in the back of a truck or they're on the grocery shelf. They're not in any kind of motion. They're just have become de-energized. So when you bring water in from foods, those foods are already that's already energized water in there. And that water is important because it actually brings energy into our body in a way that just guzzling wetness doesn't. So hydration has to do with not just getting wet. It has to do with electrical charge. We all know that water conducts electricity. We just don't think of it as applying to us. And so these plants already carry that electricity within the water. That's the difference of the water from, say, plant or a bottle of water. Big, big difference there. And then just very briefly, we all encounter the water bottle somewhere in our day, or somewhere we have a glass of liquid water. You might be sitting in a restaurant. There's ways to help that water become more molecularly structured or become this gel phase, you can just pop in a pinch of real salt, like sea salt or table salt. That starts an electrical reaction in the water. And you're actually energizing your water. We're talking about, in Quench, we're talking about extremely simple techniques to revitalize the water around us that's been devitalized or de-energized, so that the kind of hydration we're doing now brings that electrical charge into our body and that energy. And also we find that you can hydrate with less liquid, so you don't have to drink as much. So the more you're eating beautiful foods, the less you're going to find your need to be guzzling an additional 8 glasses of water. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have to find how that works for you, because you're on a spectrum. Everybody's, but the point of Quench that we try to do, we've created a 5-day plan. We recommended what are the most hydrating foods, how to make smoothies so that you're getting that in your system. That goal there was, you're going to start noticing the difference between your fatigue and your cognitive decline, especially around 3 o'clock, and the what you're starting to feel like when you notice you, for your body, are optimally hydrated. You're going to find that out through this 5-day plan.
This is fascinating. We need to take a quick commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. But I am just amazed here. I had never thought about it in that way, that the water had this electrical charge that we need, because I'm one of those that have been guzzling water and still feel dehydrated. We'll be right back, guys. We've got so much more to learn about hydration here. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're learning about hydration. When I first introduced it, we were talking about dehydration, but I've learned, really, let's take it into the positive format about hydration, which I love. And that, I don't know, am I the only one shocked here that I've been guzzling water thinking I'm hydrating and keep talking to my doctors of why do I feel so dehydrated? Now I know, thanks to Dr. Dana Cohen and Gina Brea and their amazing new book called Quench. And this is just absolutely so fascinating to me because I haven't heard it anywhere else, but what they're saying makes so much sense. So let's dive right back in about this idea of hydration. And I know your book has marvelous recipes. Let's share one of your favorite ones for what people can do to maintain that state of hydration, zipping people's hydration up.
There's a couple of different popsicle recipes, which are, and they're sort of a little different and fun, but a really simple one are basically frozen raspberries, some soaked chia seeds, a little coconut milk or coconut water, or even just plain water. What else is in there? A little bit of honey, and just, you know, blend it up and freeze it. Easy. You can even throw a little bit of squeeze of lime in there if you wanted to, too. So people don't think you could make some really healthy treats, popsicles, and very hydrating. Great for kids, I think, even before and after sports kind of things.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking my grandkids would love those because they're a fan of chia seed puddings. So,
which are fantastic. So hydrating. Great, you know, great recipes. There's 1,000 of those online. That's a great snack, too. Like a great little dessert.
Yeah. Man, it's so easy to make. Like I said, check the web. But the chia seed pudding to me, and my grandkids love it because it's sort of does it right before their eyes like some sort of magic trick.
Exactly.
It's always great. Oh my gosh, this is fascinating to me. I'm curious though, you know, you hear so much about the term electrolytes, and we've been talking about the electrical charge in water and everything. Help me get really clear on electrolytes. Do we need them, and what are they?
So that's everything that we're talking about right now. Electrolytes are the minerals that we need from food to create that structured water. So specifically there, it's sodium, potassium, magnesium, these ions that are important to the function and the structure of our cells and how that water goes in and out. Gina, do you want to say something?
Well, the problem with 8 glasses a day of water is that it often flushes out those electrolytes. So a bottle of water doesn't carry any of that charge. You put it in your body, those electrolytes are going into that water and being pulled out by the flash flood of all that drinking. So that's another reason why we recommend getting water through food, because it's packaged all to be sustaining in your system. So the fibers in the foods help absorb the they help absorb the electrolytes and the liquid, the wetness, but also they carry their own electrical charge. All that fruit and vegetables have mineral sources within them, which then become charged by the water. And you're getting that as a package in nature. And that is why food is such an important part of the whole hydration story. And we were very dismayed when we saw it's not even on the table to talk to people about why watermelon is going to really work for you, or why cauliflower, even baked cauliflower, or roasted cauliflower. Cauliflower is 98% water.
Is it really? It always feels so dry.
I know.
That's shocking. A watermelon makes sense to me. I mean,
right. Watermelon makes sense, but see, what we're trying to do is move that whole story into what the science shows, which is those fibrous features of cauliflower are full of water. And we think of water as mushy. We don't think of it as kind of gel-like. Even bone broth is a tremendous source of hydration. So we want that chain to start coming into you, because what's going to happen there is not only your hydration is going to go up in the stabilized way that's sustainable, that stays in your body, it doesn't flash flood out your electrolytes and your nutrients, but you're now getting all new levels of nutrition through this kind of hydration. That sounds like the kind of nature plan that I like to be on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm amazed, you guys. Okay. Sorry, Dr. Dana, jump in here.
No, I really want to reiterate what she just said, because I think it's really important, and it pertains to you as well. One of the reasons why you're not feeling hydrated after drinking all of that water is because you're flushing out your electrolytes. It's a very powerful statement that she just said. So, you know, regular water doesn't contain any electrolytes. When you add a pinch of natural or Celtic or real seal, you know, salt, those are the electrolytes that we need, that sodium, that potassium, those minerals that then help to start structure that water, and it helps get it into the cell better. I once did an experiment where when Gina first came to me and we started researching this, I went to a symposium in Las Vegas, literally in the desert. So I'm sitting all day long and in this lectures, 8 hours a day. And there's a pitcher of water in front of everybody. And I was like, I'm going to hydrate myself so good. And I kept drinking water all day. By the end of the day, I was even more exhausted than usual. I was getting up to pee after every lecture. And by the end of the day, my pee was crystal clear. It had no color to it. And I felt horrible. So you can try that little experiment on yourself. It's not the best way to hydrate. When you start to hydrate properly by adding electrolytes, by adding vegetables and fruits, you'll start to notice that you feel better. And so one of the things that brings up is that our urine, the best way to check to see if you're at a good optimal hydration, look at the color of your urine. It should be a very pale yellow. That's a little tip. That's a great at home, easy thing that you can do. I just wanted one caveat. If you're taking B vitamins, the color of your urine doesn't count. So you can't use that test.
Do beets change the color of the urine too? I know they can't change the color of other things, but do beets change the color of urine? Because I love beets.
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I don't think so.
Well, I eat a high beet diet and I'm still nice and pale yellow.
Okay, good. Good.
I do want to put in a big bid for beets. They are an extraordinarily hydrating food. They bring electrical charge in. They bring extra nitric oxide. They are really an important food, and lots of people don't like the taste of beets. So how would you include a food that helpful? We love to make smoothies with them. And one of my favorite recipes is red cabbage, red beets, and red raspberries with a squeeze of lime in it. And you'll be surprised at how you don't taste the beets, but you sure are handing your grandchild or your husband a incredibly red drink, and they're just going to down it. And the benefits are incredible. Also wanted to say a little bit more about leafy greens, because leafy greens are also, who thinks of a salad as more hydrating than a bottle of water? But it is.
Not me till now.
Right. So those leafy greens are extremely important, high mineral foods that you can bring into your daily life, consciously recognizing I'm hydrating myself as well as feeding myself high level nutrition. I know a lot of people, unfortunately, who don't like salad. They don't want to eat it. My whole family, I have brothers, they wouldn't touch a salad, but I can hand them a smoothie made with blueberries, which is a purple drink instead of a green drink. They have no idea what they're drinking, except they say, "What? Give me that drink again. I want that. I want another one of those." You
know? Awesome. A question about smoothies, though. So I'm not going to name processing names. I'm going to just use the generic words of blender and juicer here. But yeah. I'm thinking with a juicer, I love juicing because I don't get all that, it's so smooth. It's so easy to drink, like a glass of water. Where with a smoothie, are we talking more the kind that you would get out of a blender that has all the fibrous and it's sort of like semi-spoon drinking it?
So we actually define smoothies in the book. And the definition, according to us, is a blended vegetable with fruits and water added to it. So that is a smoothie. We want where you're retaining the fiber from the vegetables. And
right,
it's blended.
So it's thicker. It's not what you get out of a juicer, which is just like colored water, but tastes good.
Right, colored water and a lot of sugar, unfortunately. Yeah. Juicing is fine. We think smoothies are better at hydrating because of that fiber. We didn't really talk much about fiber, but the fiber also helps structure water. If you've ever put fiber, like just a fiber supplement, it clumps up, it forms that gel. But we need fiber in order to also act like a sponge, hold on to that hydration better, get it into the cells better. So for us, smoothies are just a blended drink, and not necessarily like an ice cream or yogurt added either. That's not what we're talking about here. So that's the definition according to Quench.
Yeah, well, and that's my definition too. That's why I just wanted to make clear that people understood. And thank you for adding that idea about it's not with yogurt, not with ice cream.
Yeah, right.
Just the
right.
Vegetables and water.
If I can butt in a little bit,
yes.
Here, one thing that is a substitute or transfer for people to make is to use coconut milk. So instead of the ice cream or the yogurt, when you add coconut milk, for example, with a little bit of cardamom or maybe something like turmeric and maybe a teaspoon of honey. This isn't going to kill you under these conditions. It's going to actually help you flourish. That coconut milk is really potent hydrator. And so having a glass of coconut milk with some other agents that flavor it, that make it really delicious. I happen to like adding blackberries to my coconut milk. It's just a beautiful combination of foods. I also use pear a lot. So a pear coconut drink smoothie, really simple, you know, a little cinnamon on top, and you've just walked into whole new territory. The health benefits of all of that go together in some powerful ways. And we haven't gotten into the conversations about how oil is also part of the hydration chain. So having the right fats in your diet are essential to hydrating, because fats involve the lipids around the cellular membrane. And they are the, if we can just call it, they're the opener and closer that allows the hydration into the cell or makes it stay outside the cell. We want to get hydration into the cell. That's where it's doing its most function. In that form, it's gel. And it needs fats to protect it and surround it and help it function. So if you're not getting the right kind of fats, avocados, walnuts, we know about coconut. There's a lot of controversy around coconut, but we're here to tell you coconut is a beautiful health food and an important part of hydrating. So those kinds of fats, olive oils, all of those, macadamia. I know Dana loves macadamia. Is it macadamia oil that you like so much, Dana? Getting those fats in, right in your smoothie, is a total package, a biological package for hydration that's looking quite different than now drinking that bottle of water.
Oh, absolutely. We need to take one more quick commercial break, guys, but I'm just on the edge of my seat. Plus, I want to know a little bit more about how we add the fats to our smoothies, or we eat them in tandem, whatever. And also, because we had a show recently where we talked to Dr. Elizabeth Yarnell, and, you know, we learned fat is not a dirty word anymore. So I want to continue that conversation, because that was so eye-opening. And we'll continue that here with Dr. Dana and Gina here, authors of the new book, Quench. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. Wow, I am just being blown away with what I'm hearing from Gina Bray and Dr. Dana Cohen, the authors of the fantastic book called Quench. This is all about hydration. And I think that is so overlooked. When their story came across my desk, I jumped at it. Because one of the things, as I mentioned early on in the show, I'm thinking back, have I really had a doctor talk to me about real hydration? Nothing that I'm hearing here today, for sure. I have been told, drink more water, Sharon, you'll feel better. But now I understand why every time I drank water, I didn't feel better. Yeah. And I don't know, I can't, this is the science of Sharon, lovely community, this is the science of Sharon. But there were times where I just didn't want to drink water because somehow intuitively I knew it wasn't going to help. But now I know what was going wrong. Thank you, guys. Let's jump in here. I want to talk a little bit about fats, how we consume them. Do we throw them in the smoothie or do we have to take them outside of the smoothie or how do we consume the fats? And then let's just get into whatever rabbit hole we want to run down because this is all amazing.
Yeah, so this is Dana. As far as fats, you don't have to necessarily put them in your smoothie, but you can. Like, you could add avocado to thicken up your smoothie. There's actually a great recipe in the book for chocolate avocado popsicles. But chia seeds are also a really great source of your parent omega-3s, ALA, alpha-linolenic acid. But it's not necessarily about, there's a whole chapter dedicated to fats in the book. And it's more about it just in general. We need to be eating healthier fats. We need to be cooking with healthier fats. So it doesn't have to necessarily go in the smoothie. That's not going to make it even more, although it may make it more, even more hydrating. I know Gina loves to talk about ghee as her favorite fat, so maybe I'll let her talk about that. But it's about getting healthier fats, eating healthier fats throughout the day as a better, you know, just in general in your diet.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was wondering, like, the avocado chocolate popsicle sounds fantastic. Getting the book for the popsicle recipes alone is awesome, guys. So
yeah, simple too.
It's simple too. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit. It's nice to know that we don't have to have, you know, the fat right with it, that it's just about throughout the day, making sure we're eating quality fats. That's awesome. But let's jump into this idea of more hydration and other things that we can do. That I've been told things like, you know, drink a lot of water to get the toxins out of your system. But I just heard a minute ago that it also gets the electrolytes out.
It's a great point. Nobody ever talks about hydration as being also, you know, we always think of hydration is, you know, how much more can we take in? That's hydration. But actually a function of hydration is the output, you know, and so detoxification is absolutely a function of how well hydrated we are. If we're not hydrated enough, you're not detoxifying well, because we detoxify through sweat, through urine, through pooping. And if we're not hydrated enough, those things get squelched. You know, we don't do it well enough. So detoxification is a function of hydration. And we think that a better way to hydrate is, once again, by eating your fluids. So eating your hydration. That it's the same idea. It's much easier. You detoxify better. When you are better hydrated.
Oh, wow. Now, I know in your book you talk about fascia, and I love massage, so my massage therapist is always talking about my fascia. Let's talk about what is fascia for the community here and why it's important, because, you know, I never knew about it till I just started getting massages and all of this here, but fascia is really tight.
A couple of things first. I want to not let go of the idea of ghee.
Oh, yeah. I love ghee.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, Sharon. And I want your listeners and your viewers to love ghee too, because to love ghee, because ghee is, we have some information about ghee that we didn't have before. And one of those is that ghee actually got tested in the foremost water science laboratory with Dr. Pollack and his team. And they tested ghee and they found out it was one of the most hydrating foods they had come across.
What is ghee, Gina? You might want to tell them what ghee is.
Yes, good point, Dana. Yeah. So ghee is nothing more than butter that's been clarified. It's been heated and it's released all the other molecules until it's just this butyric oil, which is an oil, it's a food. At this point, it's a food for our microbiome. So it's the many panoply advantages of having ghee in your life are multiple. One is we need more protection than we used to from chemical damage. We need our bacteria to help us recover. Ghee is also incredibly potent when your body releases toxins. The ghee goes after it and absorbs them and carries them out. So not only are they feeding our microbiome, not only is ghee giving us a really appropriate, powerful fat, but it's also very good at carrying out heavy metals and toxins and all sorts of things we're exposed to. So I just want to make a little connection here for your listeners, your viewers. So the foods you partner with help you become this interior filter. You become the filter. You're not counting on Brita. You, by eating protective foods, then you're also helping to carry out and filter out these toxins that we're talking about. So hydration is input, but it's also carrying out. And we don't hear people, when they just want you to guzzle 8 glasses of water a day. This is a system we're involved in, an incredibly complicated, beautiful, sophisticated, and very smart system. So the foods you partner with, ghee, which I think is an important one, that we can add now, because it may not be in your cultural heritage. It may not be something you've ever tried before, but we haven't lived in these kinds of environments before either. We need to start stretching our nutrition strategy to be part of our protective strategy so that we are eating protectively, drinking protectively, hydrating protectively in a highly modern conditions, which are deeply dehydrating. So I'm looking at you sitting in your house, and it's probably air conditioned or heated. We're indoors, we're away from sunlight, air, humidities, all the environments that we're living in. We're surrounded by carpets and drywall. We are involved in very electromagnetic fields. All of these are taking a hit, percentage hits at every point on our hydration. And so, speaking as an anthropologist, all I'm trying to do is alert people to the new environments we inhabit require more hydration than they have in the past.
Wow. Wow.
Very big deal.
I can't wait for the transcript. That's noteworthy, as well as everything else I'm hearing. I'm just going, wow, wow, wow. I want to spell ghee. It's G-H-E-E, guys, if you look for it in the store. That's what it's said, and you'll find it near the butter. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because it's a very ancient oil. I know it comes out of the Middle East, doesn't it? So it makes sense to me. It's hydrating because, gosh, a lot of the ancient wisdom of having that, they must have found out, you know, in their own way.
Can I tell you how sexy ghee is?
Absolutely. Let's hear how sexy ghee is.
Okay, so think about it. Hot cultures, they have milk and butter from animals. It's very hot. They've got to preserve that stuff. They figured out that by heating the butter, they created a new molecular structure in which it preserved the butter. So you don't need to put ghee in the refrigerator. It's a traveling form of this very, very highly valuable acid, which then supports your whole system. So ancient traditions are really valuable to us moderns. We need to start reinvestigating them, because we are definitely living in new environments that need new adaptive strategies. And when we go back to how other extreme environments protected themselves, we're going to get a lot of information. And that's really how I started this whole quest on hydration. I was looking at how desert people survive without 8 glasses of water a day, the typical medical advice we get. And I was like, well, other people are surviving without that. How are they doing that? That's when I found out they were using foods to hydrate, not liquids. They weren't running from oasis to oasis. They were traveling with things like, this is going to surprise you, another surprise, food surprise, dates and butter. Do you know how hydrating dates and butter are? Amazing. Yeah. So I was really interested in, wait a minute, that must mean there's a whole chain of hydration that we haven't even considered, or we could reconsider. We need to bring it back into our modern environments. And this was a special story for me and Dana as well. We both had mothers. who were suffering from dehydration issues. In my case, my mother was suffering from chronic dehydration in a nursing home. Dana's mom had already gone further down the chain, and she was struggling with Alzheimer's. Does anybody suggest better hydration for people with cognitive issues? We don't even get that when we get our prescriptions. So Dana, talk a little bit about
I just want to say, there are studies published, and we give them to you in the book, that this chronic low-grade subclinical dehydration is a risk factor for Alzheimer's. So this day in and day out that, you know, when we are fatigued at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon, and we're dehydrated, that's a risk factor for Alzheimer's. It's a risk factor for diabetes. It's a risk factor for certain cancers, colon cancer and bladder cancer. So this is, you know, the big picture here is, once again, and the whole point of the book is this: getting optimally hydrated is your first line in treating and preventing chronic illness. I can't say it enough. I think it's really important information.
Oh, I can't say it enough either. You guys have changed my whole paradigm about hydration. I had been sort of doing some of this, not at any of this level, guys, but some of this, just based on my own intuition that drinking all this water was actually making me feel less vibrant. And I've been doing smoothies, which I love, and I enjoying the recipes. But because you need recipes, guys. When I first started, some of the concoctions, pretty tough. It tastes good, but it was pretty scary. So use recipes.
I still make some that I have to hold my nose to get it down. Like, you know, but it's, I think I'm a cook and I'm like, oh, I'm going to throw some of this in. But that's the beauty of it. Play around with it, have fun with it, you know, figure out a baseline, a foundational smoothie, and then you can add whatever you want to it. And it's fun.
Oh, absolutely. So much fun. I want to touch lightly. We only have about 7 minutes left. So I want to touch lightly on fascia and what it is, because I sort of intrigued everyone here. And then we'll get into how we can get your book and learn more about both of you.
Okay. So I'm going to start, Gina. Fascia is this connective tissue webbing in our body that envelopes every cell, every organ. It's all over the place. And it's this connective tissue. And a couple years ago now, a very brilliant surgeon decided to put a camera under the skin of a living person specifically to look at fascia, which had never been done before. We'd only ever looked at fascia under dried, desiccated cadavers. So he wanted to look at living fascia. And what we found when we looked at this information is that fascia is a delivery system of hydration, which is mind-blowing, because we've only ever thought that hydration is moved, or fluid is moved, via blood and lymph. This is a whole new organ system, a whole new physiological system in our body that we've discovered. And the idea of, well, you have to move your joints to lubricate them, we now really understand why. So it's a little instinctual. We've known that. And the people who know this better than anybody are the body workers, your massage therapists, your physical therapists. They know that by moving fascia and breaking up that fascia is moving hydration. And we now show that. But not only is it moving hydration, it also is an electrical network. How is that important in that movement is the second half of hydration, of the hydration story. We need to move in order to get that fluid where it needs to go. So we know that sitting is bad for us, but now it's another reason why. When we're sitting, we're squelching that delivery of fluid to our periphery, to those peripheral cells. So we need to move in order to get it delivered better. And then the last thing I just want to say about fascia and the hydraulic pump, I love this one. Gina taught me this, is that this idea of moving your head up and down, that's a hydraulic pump. You're pumping fluid into your brain and getting it out of your brain, fresh fluid coming in, going out. And the other beautiful thing that we do in the book is we give you recipes for very simple movements, no matter what level, no matter what. And this is not exercise. This is in addition to whatever you're doing for exercise. But you need to move in order to hydrate fully.
Wow. Wow. I had no idea. All I can say as well, the audience, my beautiful community knows that's okay. That's what I do. Okay. Gina, and in the last couple of minutes here, anything you want to add, and then we'll jump into how to get a hold of both of you and find the book?
Well, I'd love to say that we're all suffering from cell phone dehydration.
Really? Is that because the magnetic field around it?
It's in part. In part is the heat of the phones. There's a multiplicity, again, just noticing we're in modern environments, which are more dehydrating. Electromagnetic fields, cell phones, computer work is a very important percentage point bringing down our hydration. We have to know about that. But one thing we can do while we're on the phone to help us hydrate while we're sitting there talking is do some head movements just while you're on the phone. You may see me now. I'm just moving my chin as if I'm drawing a few circles in the air. I'm going to put my phone up. I turned it off. I'm sorry about the ring we had. But if I'm talking, I can put one chin over my shoulder in one way. I can go the other way. I can drop my chin down to my chest. These are extremely simple moves, which are moving the synovial fluid through the fascial system and actually keeping that hydration in flow, getting my tissues hydrated and moved. So when we talk about doing movement, we're really serious. We're talking about tiny, gentle movements all through your day where you're keeping alive your electrical system and your hydration pump. And no one has connected that to hydration. So really, really important. Fascia is the hydration, the irrigation network of the entire body and its information system.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we're down to the last 2 minutes, guys. I'm just going to say go. Shameless promotion here because I love your work.
Thank you. All right. So my website is www.drdanacohen.com. And you could find me on Instagram at drdanacohen. Yeah.
Awesome. And Gina.
Yes. So I went ahead and founded something called the Hydration Foundation to spread this work and this knowledge. So you can come to my website, www.hydrationfoundation.org. We have tips, we have the new science, we have pictures of how to move. It's a way to bring all of this to a place where people can go and find out not only what's the latest in hydration, both the science and the techniques, but also we vet products. So we recommend carefully products we've tested that we know can help you in that whole hydration search.
Wow, thank you so much, guys. We're going to have you back because we're out of time, but this is just amazing. So many things. I had no clue. I guess intuitively I knew a little bit, but this is awesome. Their book is named Quench, Drink Right, Stop Fatigue, Kick Insomnia, and Heal Your Body Through the Power of Optimum Hydration. I love that, everyone. We're going to strive for optimum hydration. Share a little bit with me over on Facebook and let us know what you've taken away from this show, as well as what are your ways that you're looking at optimum hydration now. Join me next Friday night for another episode of the Autoimmune Hour. And if you want to find any of the back episodes or transcripts, be sure and go to understandingautoimmune.com. You can sign up and get all the transcripts there, as well as we have some great guided meditations there now for you as well. So go have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me here next Friday for another fantastic episode of the Autoimmune Hour. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be.
After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at PinkyChenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.